Right, welcome back. Kincaid and Breckenridge. Ellen K. Embry is our guest, a lawyer at Dunphy Best Blocks. I'm talking about these, I want to call it a trend, but autonomous moms, women who seek to have children and raise them as single mothers, making sure that no man is saddled, I guess, with parental rights is a way that I could put that. Is there a male version of this, Ellen?
There is. And in fact, I'm glad you asked that. I have a number of men who come into my practice and who say, I want to be a parent. I haven't met the right woman. Now, of course, it's a bit more complex for them. They need an egg donor and they need a surrogate in order to carry for them. And same rules apply. The donor gives her egg to him. She does not intend to have any kind of parental relationship with the child. We put a contract in place that makes that crystal clear. We cite the section of the statute which says that if it's being donated to him for his parental, not for her use, then she's not a parent. And then, of course, we need to get a surrogate involved as well. And to be honest, I see that more than I see the other issues that we're talking about today.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, that interests me, because I was of the mind that that would be the minority of cases.
No, there's actually quite a lot of men who say, I haven't met the right person. These are responsible guys. I haven't met the right person. I want to be a parent. The clock is ticking. I'm from a large Italian family, and I want to go ahead and do that. And so I've had a number of those over the last couple of years.
Hmm. Well, yeah, I can understand that, but it's... donating sperm, the would-be mother has a place to grow the baby, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of equation because the man cannot bear the child. Someone else has to do that. So there seems to be a lot more involved on the other side.
There's a huge amount more involved. Yeah, absolutely.
Hmm.
You've got three parties instead of two.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there a rights of the child consideration in all of this, too?
The big umbrella is what's in the best interest of the child. I think that we are beyond the assumption that all children need to have two parents, or that all children need to have two heterosexual parents, for example. I don't think that that's a major concern, but ultimately everything that is done with respect to creating babies is done with the umbrella of what's in the best interest of the child. And I'm sure that there's lots of people who have a fairly broad opinion on that. I personally believe that very healthy, happy kids can be raised in single families or in same-sex families.
Yeah, they certainly can. What about the rights of the child, though, in terms of the child wanting to know the identity, say, of a sperm or egg donor at some point down the road, or, the child's perception of who's a parent to them and who's not a parent to them, these kinds of questions. How much rights do the kids have?
Well, typically we address that and we say, what's the plan? And normally we have psychologists involved from day one to advise the people in this type of who are contemplating this type of thing, what is going to be the best and the healthiest option for the child. And so, for example, I have lots of clients who are gay men. That's probably a majority of my practice. They all have egg donors, and they all have a surrogate carrying their child. With the egg donor, typically we have an anonymous agreement, but we almost always build in a clause that says that once the child reaches a certain age, if he or she wants to contact the donor, they will, and the donor will accept contact.
I'm still fuzzy on this idea where we could have a child born into a home with two adults, one parent, if you will, and then the other adult assumes a bit of a parental role, but could walk away from that parental role or could not walk away from it?
No, I think that once you have assumed a parental role and somebody holds you to task on it, ultimately it's going to be up to the court. And I think that the court will typically say, look, if you have assumed a parental role in this child's life, then with the rights of being a parent come obligations. And obligations, typically when a relationship breaks down, include support.
Wow. Are we, do you think we've got this one figured out? You answer all the questions with aplomb, but does society have this situation figured out pretty well now?
Oh, everybody thinks that what I do is crazy. you do what? Yeah, I mean, I don't know that we've got all the answers. What I try to do in my practice is try to make sure that everybody's very, very open with everybody else from moment one, and that we're operating within the bounds of the law so that hopefully we don't have nasty custody cases happening down the road. But, you know, the reality is that this type of arrangement is there so that women, you know, 20 years ago, women who reached 40 or 44 who wanted to have a child typically had no options, and now they do have options, and I think that the legislation that we have is pretty supportive of that while putting some restrictions in place and saying, you know, I personally think that the no sex restriction makes a lot of sense, mm-hmm. because you can only imagine if you had the ability to contract out of parental rights, you know, how many 18-year-old boys would do that?
Would carry that waiver in their pocket.
Exactly.
All right.
Well, that's fascinating. Ellen, thanks so much for making some time for us here. Really appreciate you exploring this with us.
Thanks very much for having me on. Have a great day.
All right, you too. Ellen K. Enbury is a lawyer with Dunphy Best Bloxham, also a fellow with the American Academy of Assisted Reproductive Technology Attorneys.